Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Over the past few years, Tulsa has undergone a whole range of urban planning exercises, from Planet Tulsa, the comprehensive plan, to neighborhood plans like the Pearl District, or transit planning like Fast Forward. But envisioning the realities of what these plans mean can be difficult to conceive. Let's look at the recent difficulties surrounding the Pearl District plan. Well, my guest today has graduated from the planning of urban neighborhoods to the experience of new urban areas. Andrew Howard is an urban planner with Team Better Block. Howard is actually a part of the urban planning consultant team who worked with Tulsans on Planet Tulsa. About 2 years ago, he helped found Team Better Block, a group who takes the abstract planning process and makes it concrete, albeit temporarily. Better Block began when a group of community organizers, neighbors, and property owners gathered on an underused neighborhood corridor. The area was filled with vacant properties, wide streets, and few amenities, and they literally transformed a block with temporary structures to show what a street can look like with a walkable, bikeable neighborhood with bike lanes, cafe seating, trees, plants, pop-up businesses, and lighting, and let business leaders actually look what this process looks like. Since that time, Better Block has created these projects around the country. In fact, this week in Tulsa, they're doing some training for Oklahoma Main Street. And today at Whittier Square, you can see one of these Better Blocks in action at First and Lewis. Andrew Howard joins us today to talk about Team Better Block. Andrew Howard, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
Last time you were here, you were talking about the transportation elements of Planet Tulsa when we were going through that strategic planning. Now you've branched out to your own group, Team Better Block. Now, this idea of the Better Block, it's a great way to make the abstract concrete for people when they talk about new urbanism and multimodal transportation and all these sort of buzzwords that go along with reinventing your city. Tell us a little bit about Better Block.
Oh, that's right on, Rich. Thanks for having me back in Tulsa. My career as an urban planner has gone from the big regional scale, looking at cities like Houston and Dallas and even Tulsa at that point. And now I'm working at the block level, right at the neighborhood level. And what I found was a lot of cities that had what I call rendering fatigue. They had seen all the pretty pictures of what it could be and had talked about change for a long time and kind of got stuck in the planning process. And so we said, well, I think for about the same amount of money we do for those renderings and the public meetings, that we can actually build it for a day and let people experience this and get a feel for what walkable place would be like, and hopefully give them a chance to also start up with their own business.
Now, this is really interesting because that whole idea of getting from the rendering to the actual development, I mean, that's the nub in urban planning, isn't it? I mean, there are lots of urban planners with great ideas, and you can even have a consultative design like in the Planet Tulsa process. But getting that first step from saying, okay, here's how we envision this to actually creating a reality, that's the big divide in urban planning, isn't it?
It certainly is. There's a lot of fear of change when we go into these things, and we have a lot of theory and actually a little bit of arrogance, I think, in the planning world that we can figure everything out before we get started. And so what we say is, let's get a vision and then let's get started making that. And typically, you know, like a corridor project or a change on a main street from idea to construction is 4 to 5 years. You know, you may have to wait for a bond election. But what we're seeing now, communities do things a lot lighter, quicker, and cheaper to get folks to experience it. So if you look on the coast, like in New York City, where they've changed all of Times Square using just paint, bollards, and signs and movable chairs, or in San Francisco, where they've changed parking spaces into now places that you can sit and expand cafes. So we took those ideas and said, well, let's condense that even into, preschool and just have it for a weekend where folks can try these new amenities out.
And there's a strong sense of play in these Better Block projects, right?
There is. The community gets involved. We build these, you know, with the community in mind and with their own hands and resources. And also in the planning process, we tend to get caught up in fighting over limited resources, money most of the time, and also over material types. I want that kind of bench. I want this kind of bench or this kind of brick. When we take money out of the equation and just have each other to build it together, we build that community and strength to make the permanent change even faster.
And I would think if people buy into the concept and you sort of create this for a day, all of a sudden it doesn't matter what kind of bench you have. You put out a bench and then maybe once things are humming, then okay, let's go out and change out that bench and buy the better bench.
Exactly.
Down the road, once you're proving that the idea works.
What we've done so far in our modern infrastructure is we've had the idea that if we put the infrastructure in, if we put that 100-year investment in, then the private sector will come behind and invest. What we're saying is let's give it a taste of what the future would be like, and we've seen the private sector come rushing in and go ahead and establish businesses and retail and new investment, and then the city can come behind and they've learned how to place that infrastructure in a way to complement that private investment. And we're seeing projects go from that 5-year period to 2 years.
Right. I don't know how many times, this is sort of a silly example, but you know, that going back to that bench, in planning processes, that bench is put in, you know, in an office away from the site, and they say, the bench would look good right here. Mm-hmm. Well, when you get on site, that bench is in the broiling sun 9/10 of the time, and if you could just pick it up and move it, somebody might move it 20 feet to where there's lots of shade. This is sort of what you're getting at.
Richard, right on. It's the scientific method. We're putting that back into planning, into common sense, that we can try things out, we can test them. We can use a less expensive product at first while we learn how our society, how people are going to work with the space.
So you take a neighborhood, or usually a block of a neighborhood, and you create portable curbs. So you're taking a little bit out of the street so there's more room for pedestrians. Or maybe you create a curb in which there's a separate bike lane going through. And people get a sense of, oh, this is how that street will actually look if I take one lane away for a bike lane or one lane away for an extended sidewalk with tables.
Exactly. Typically, we've tried to draw pictures of that, or we've even put it into complicated computer models to see, you know, how would the traffic work. And that's a lot of guesswork and theory that goes into it. And we need some of that to help with design. But nothing replaces experience, getting out and trying things. And I tell you, I think there's more books written on probably the panda environment than on the human environment out there. We don't know very much about what makes humans happy and what makes us want to spend more money in our neighborhood. So we got to get out there and test. And what I've seen is in every Better Block, there's been over 40 now across the country, they're all different. And they all kind of specialize and make them of their own. And folks that will react differently to an environment that worked here that would work in New York City.
Give us a sense of how different you've seen these Better Blocks turn out.
I think the basic principles are there, that people actually do like each other and they want to rub elbows with each other, that they enjoy engagement and meeting their neighbors. And so there's certain things that bring that about: cafes, bicycle lanes, safe streets, lighting, active storefronts. Those kind of things permeate all of the Better Blocks. I've seen folks use those to activate a place. A lot of times it's in the materials and the creativity of art that comes into these projects. Folks taking from practices of set design or art and bringing them into the fold of infrastructure. And that really makes this place special. And they just keep inventing. I think once you start getting out there and trying things, you pull from other disciplines into it. So when we were in Philadelphia, we saw these folks started using what is called straw wattles, and they're erosion control bales of hay that are round. And that
right.
created a great curb, you know, and they were able to use that to give a height variation to the curb. And then people just coming up with interesting ways of lighting a place, of not looking at just, you know, the big highway cobra lights, but let's turn those off for the day and use string lights.
Well, you know, I've seen some of the videos from this thing. You'll get people having a parade as the Better Block goes through.
it does seem like that. Now, that's a really neat thing, is every community has a special event process mm-hmm. to put on things like parades. Well, the Better Block uses that. So we apply through the city for access to do this, and it gets the city involved. It gets the city manager, it gets the public works, planning, city traffic engineer, police, and fire. So it's the same as a development process, and they get to see, oh, this is the way it could be in the future, and check off on it. And I've seen over and over that it attracts a different crowd than you might have at a public meeting. We've had people show up on a horse, actually, before. So I'm not sure you can get that at a public meeting. But it brings out the youth, and it also brings out folks that are energetic to work in their community again. They don't have the patience to go through a public meeting, probably. And they're doers. They're folks that want to work with their hands.
But once they see this process and once they see this sort of revitalization in, albeit a sort of Potemkin village style, they say, that's what I want. Or you know, that's what I don't want. But mainly, that's what I want. And they talk to their elected leaders, and that creates the sort of synergy to get these things moving.
That's the energy we're looking for. I used to judge the success of the Better Block on how many people were there, and we'd count, you know. Uh-huh. Oh, we got 2,000. Wow, we won. But really, it's the amount of advocates that come out of it, the new advocates that come out and say, I know what a great street looks like. That crosswalk really helped my daughter and I go from the Circle Theater to the parking lot. And it's that kind of energy that we want in government. Helping our elected officials understand the needs of the community, helping our planners plan better cities.
So how does the Better Block work? You actually sit down with the community ahead of time and say, what do you need in this neighborhood? Does it start as simple as that?
It certainly does. The typical planning process, we'd have a public meeting where we introduce the vision or we ask people to become planners and actually draw on paper. We believe that people know exactly what they want in their community and need. Now, they may not have all the tools to make that possible, but if we walk around with them, they're going to point out the good and the bad. and then us as creative urban planners and architects and artists can help fill those gaps with ideas. The idea is to get past the planning process and get into actually making your community better.
So you're going to be using the Whittier Square, which is the area right at Admiral and Lewis. Are you going to be using Lewis or Admiral?
We'll be on Lewis. Uh-huh. We've been working with the city traffic engineer. They've been great. They're going to allow us to test a two-lane new version of Lewis there. So we'll have on-street parking, a bike lane there. And it's a great opportunity for them to test out some of these Planet Tulsa ideas that we had. And it's also very special that we're here in Tulsa. This is actually a training for the Oklahoma Main Street program. And we're going to have over 48 Main Street directors from all over the state coming here to Tulsa to learn about urbanism.
And today will be the day where people can actually see this in practice on Lewis there between First and Admiral.
Correct. The center of it will be the Circle Theater. That'll be our home base. And from about 4 o'clock until 10 p.m. today, you'll see a different flavor to Lewis. The standard of the Circle Theater is going to be there. They're going to be having a number of movies. We'll also have some presentations on the Better Block and what else is going on here in Tulsa. And just a great time to see a revision street.
Now, you know, it's interesting you chose that particular street. I know that the organizers chose that street because actually on the Circle Cinema side of the street, you probably have the widest sidewalk in Tulsa. You know, that area just south of the theater is probably the widest sidewalk in the whole dang city. And I guess if you're taking another lane, you're looking at, you'll probably have seating areas out in the front. You'll probably little parking lanes as well. What is it going to look like?
Yeah, we hope to fill every square inch of that sidewalk with people and movable chairs. You know, our main concern when I came there was speed of traffic. The speeds there are getting up in that 35 mile an hour range, 40 mile an hour range, and that drastically increases the pedestrian fatality rate whenever you're over 25 miles an hour. So a main street really needs to have that 25 mile an hour, and then it needs to be a shared space where people can walk across it, feel safe, you can ride your bike on it and feel safe, and it's easy to load and unload transit. So you're going to see a narrowed street because of back-end angled parking. This is a new way of parking cars that is actually an old way of doing it. We used to park our ox carts backwards like this, but it makes for safer coming in and out of your car, and it also slows traffic. Hmm. And then on the side that has the library, you'll see a European-style cycle track. So this is a two-way bicycle lane.
Okay.
Yeah, very very innovative thing, but the safest form of a bicycle on-street facility you can have.
And that's sort of, you'll have a curb between the bike lanes and the actual street, right?
Exactly. We'll have, they're actually planters that'll be mm-hmm. there. So we'll add some beautification of the street as well. And it's a short segment. Again, it's a demonstration. You'd want to link this to a route to get downtown or get to the school. Again, we're given a flavor of what it would be like. Our expectation, we'll be measuring this with the traffic engineers while we're out there to make sure that traffic is not completely impeded, that you can definitely still get through and But we're also going to be looking at the other modes. Can people walk across the street easier now? Does the decibel level of the area come down? Because if we're going to have cafes, you can't have, you know, you can have trucks going 45 miles. So that's the fun part working with these folks is we're going to start measuring the street, not just for how fast can we move cars, but how much does it work for everybody and what does it do to retail?
Yeah, and that's the other key part of it is there are some businesses there, but there are also some empty buildings. And for the day, I guess you'll fill those empty buildings, right?
We will. We're going to have a number of, typically we call them pop-up shops where we're trying to seed things into the local community. This one is, because it's a training for the Main Street, we're going to create active facades on those storefronts. So if you go there right now, you're going to look into the old hardware store and see miscellaneous items from when it was opened. And so now we're going to make the front of those buildings be active and look alive. So just changing the perception of a place that it's, oh, it's alive, it's active here, we'll start making it feel safer and we'll hopefully get them to lease those buildings a lot quicker.
My guest today is Andrew Howard. He's an urban planner with Team Better Block. The Better Block project has been, gosh, it's in cities all around the country where they basically take urban planning processes in the abstract and make them concrete by creating these very temporary blocks of what the urban planners and people who have sort of done the joint planning have come to a consensus on and actually show it in practice at a very low cost where, you know, it's portable curbs that it sort of change the roadway, I guess tape on the street in place of painting, you know, so you know where to turn and bike lanes and the like. And it's really fascinating. You can learn more at betterblock.org. And he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, there's certain attributes, you say, that are really important for creating these new urbanism neighborhoods. And that's safety. You've mentioned that several times. Shared access, stay power, and 8 to 80 amenities. That means it needs to be attractive to little kids as well as grandparents and everybody in between.
Exactly. My business partner, Jason Roberts, and I, when we started Team Better Block, we said, let's not do a project, build a street that my grandmother or his son wouldn't feel comfortable walking on. And what we found out is if you build for that, if you build for the young and the very old, everyone else in the middle will fit in. Actually, it will attract more women to a location too. Safety and that feeling of everyone is involved, it just kind of brings the playing field down and says, I don't have to be embarrassed to come here. My son can go over here and play checkers and my grandfather can come over here and play chess.
Yeah. Now, how does this work in car culture cities? Like, you know, Tulsa's a car culture city, but the cities you've talked about in Texas are pretty much car culture cities. You know, I see when you go to a lot of these cities, it's, I'm going to drive my car over here, park it, and then I'll walk around a little while. Is that the result we're looking for at this particular point, or are we really talking about a more fundamental change?
Yeah, this all started in Dallas, in my neighborhood of Oak Cliff, which...
Yeah, that's cars.
Yeah, there's some cars there. you know, what we started to think about was, I think we've held that as a crutch for a long time, and it's scale. You know, it's such a big problem. We've got urban sprawl that's so large in our cities, and we've built a big infrastructure. We also have depleting resources. We have less money to work with now. So that's where we started to focus in on and say, let's just do the block. Let's just make one block, right? And then we started looking, you know, when you go to Paris, you don't talk about, oh, this gigantic cafe.
No, you talk about neighborhoods.
Yeah, you talk about little places. And so we started to think small. And Dallas's motto actually right now is think big. So we kind of went the converse of it. And it worked. We started rebuilding parts of our community on that really small, hyper-local idea. And that we knew we couldn't repair the whole place. But we knew if we could make one little block 100%, then the rest would start falling into place. And what happens is that those places do become so cool that they start becoming regional attractions. And hopefully those folks take that idea back and start working in their own neighborhood so they can walk to it. But we still do live in a car culture. And what we want to do is get some of the trips off that, get some of the folks to walk and bike. And in some communities now they're getting up to 25% people doing that. They're able to live, work, and play in their own neighborhood.
Now, when you do these Better Block demonstrations, is it mainly for that own neighborhood, or do you have people coming from all over the area to see what this looks like So you're really building advocacy throughout the city.
Definitely. In our own city in Dallas, we started doing this, and it became like a open house for the part of the neighborhood. And we started seeing investment from other parts of the city come there. They were seeking a walkable place. They were seeking a culture, a neighborhood. So you will attract some outside investment. It's almost like a chamber of commerce luncheon that you have, but it's more active. We try to give first dibs of that stuff to the existing businesses and neighborhoods that are there. So
yeah. Now, have you actually had these demonstration projects where reality has come into being, where, you know, the bike lanes stay? They actually, the city does come out and put real curbs in, and businesses actually come in and with the outdoor tables. And does that happen?
Boy, that's the icing on the cake. Because that's the worst part, Rich, is having to pull it up at the end of the demonstration. We've had folks beg us not to. And what we've seen is the private sector gets it first. We'll see folks on the block begin to take the bars off their windows, open up into a street cafe, begin to really activate the front of their buildings and cater to a walkable place. Our first project in Dallas has been over just about 2.5 years ago, and it recently received $1 million in funding, and we're going to go forward making it permanent there. Similar things have happened in Memphis, San Antonio, Houston now. So we're seeing it that those temporary bike lanes become permanent. Fort Worth is one of the greatest stories. They left their bike lane down, and the city actually came back and restriped it. Now, I think they meant to. I don't think they were just following another line, because Fort Worth gets it. Their mayor is very proactive and engaging on the cycling culture and on a rebuilding community.
Yeah. My guest today is Andrew Howard, urban planner with Team Better Block. He goes around the country doing these Better Block projects to show what new urbanism looks like. A lot of times it is in coordination with the city's revitalization plans. And there will be a Better Block project today, one day only, at Whittier Square at First and Lewis, between First and Admiral on Lewis. And you're also training a group of Oklahoma Main Street coordinators around the state. Now, does the equation work when it comes to a small town as much as it does to a large city? The idea of creating a better block in a small town, a lot more difficult to get capital coming into a neighborhood, especially in a small town.
You know, what we've started to say is that you already know everybody you need to know.
True.
Your city already has.
You have that advantage, yeah.
Your city already has all the talent that it needs. You just need to push it into one block, and you need to bring it out from, you know, sitting in front of their TV to there. So I think in that way, small towns have an advantage that they know Joe and Susie to call to get resources to do this. Most of the better blocks have been in bigger cities. Now, we've seen some recently happening in smaller cities like St. Joe, Missouri, did a wonderful better block, and it actually inspired a business to go permanent there, and they've added to their main street. So I think it's well positioned. I think Oklahoma small towns and main streets have been waiting.
A lot of times they've done a lot of the beautification. It's just that they haven't attracted the capital.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the private investors to invest in that area.
Yeah, and this is really a different form of marketing for them. I think they've typically relied upon buying ad space.
Or festivals or things like that. Yeah,
yeah, and this is more purposeful in that let's use the Better Block to seed business. Let's make sure our main street is walkable, that it's not just a thoroughfare. And let's start making improvements that help that small business become vibrant.
Now, you've just, again, once again, talked about walkable, safe. And this is one of the big challenges in car-centric big cities, is that people, anytime they hear about, oh, I'm not going to be able to drive as quickly as I want to, do you get blowback from these folks who, I need to use my car, I need to go through this neighborhood, I don't want to go 25 miles an hour. Do you ever get blowback from that?
I think I got more when I was a regional planner and I was working with the models and I was trying to convince people just by numbers. That's really hard way to go about it. And again, it's that idea of scale. Planning profession has gotten caught up in thinking about corridors and let's change everything overnight from Florida to Tulane. Mm-hmm. And what we've seen is that roadways can change on a block by block or a couple block basis. So having a Main Street section of like Lewis for a couple blocks that's calmed, on a typical commute, it may just add one cycle length of going through a traffic signal, so 2 minutes maybe to your, you know, if you have a 10-minute commute now, it may become 11 or 12 minute. And is that worth the added economy that's going to happen there and the safety that would happen? And typically we've seen that, yeah, we can live with that. It's kind of like going through a school zone for a bit. So.
Well, I know one of the problems we've had, you know, you were involved in the Planet Tulsa process, and of course the Pearl District is really sort of got this notion of less emphasis on cars, more on walkability. But they're running into significant, you know, because I think people can't get from the abstract to the concrete of what this is going to mean for the neighborhood, and they just can't envision the city operating where cars are the minority as opposed to the majority. I would assume this Better Block project sort of helps people see how that would work.
It does. I think the idea of a shared street is something that we're not really accustomed to. We built a lot of our street infrastructure for getting the cars through fast as they can, and that's lead to a very hazardous environment. We have a lot of deaths because of high speed. So it's not that we want to take the car away. And I think that's the difference between Better Block and a festival. You know, we're not closing the street. We're calming it, and we're doing it in a safe manner. And everything can work together. You can still park. We want to make parking easier. We want to make the traffic get through at the right speed. Mm-hmm. And if you get real into the science, traffic engineers will tell you that the best speed to time signals at is between 25 and 30 miles an hour. That if you do that, then you can just hit all greens. But when you start getting up in the higher speeds, they start to have vehicle separation where someone's going 35 and another person's going 25 and they get spread out, and that's how you get kind of the clustering at signals happening. So there are ways to modify the whole network to make it work for everybody. And if we take the stance that safety is our number one thing, that we're not going to accept loss of life and the burden that puts on our society when we lose a really creative person because of a death, then the value of that street should go up for everybody.
So getting back to the Whittier Square demonstration project, the Better Block project, 4 to 10 today, and people just encourage people to come in and look and see what this street's going to look like?
Yeah, come in.
Is it going to be completely different than we're used to seeing this intersection?
It will be even more beautiful. I think it looks great now.
It does. I mean, it looks better than it has years past.
We're going to put the icing on it. We have some new food options there. A banh mi truck will be there, so come have dinner with us. You're also going to have entertainment happening at the Circle Theater. So it'll be a great experience, and I hope one that becomes more replicated here. Tulsa's had some of this with the Typros organization, and they have a few more planned. And I think this could be a way for Tulsa to say, this is the right investment in this location. Let's go try the scientific method first before we spend all that money on it. Make sure it works properly, adjust everything, get the community behind us, get the private sector behind us, and then we'll make a really wise investment.
All right. Well, Andrew Howard, we appreciate your time again. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
Andrew Howard of Team Better Block. You can see the Better Block project this afternoon from 4 to 10 at Whittier Square at 1st and Lewis. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.